with a message from Matt.
Well, good morning. Oh, how's everybody doing today? It's a great day to be in church, amen? Hey, I want to say hello to all of you who are in the room, but also to those that are watching online. Thank you for making this an important part of your week. We believe it matters. We believe that gathering in the room matters. We believe that getting God's word whenever we can matters. It's important to us. It's one of our core values. And my name is Matt, as Brandon said, and I lead student ministry. It's an honor to be able to bring God's word to you today. We've been celebrating, though, throughout this whole last month, what God has been doing in the lives of students, but not only in the lives of students, in the lives of our church. Man, 2025 was a very busy year, a very good year for us as a church. Actually, we just wrapped up the year with 7 Christmas services where we had 3,000 people in this room that were able to come in here and hear the message of hope, the message of peace that we have in Jesus. Come on, we can celebrate that, right? 3,000 people were able to hear that. And I know that takes a lot of volunteers, it takes a lot of people to do that, so I just wanna say thank you. In fact, what we know is a lot of people come to church, maybe for the first time ever at Christmas or at Easter, so maybe you're here today and that was one of you, maybe you were here at Christmas and you said, I'm gonna make this a different year, and I just wanna say welcome. We're so glad that you're here with us. You came at a great time because today we're kicking off not only a new calendar year, but we're kicking off a new focus for our church. And you may have heard Andy mention this previously, but we believe that it's really cool to have, it's a good idea to have a focus, but also where are we going directionally as a church? And we think that this year is for our focus to get immersed into God's word. You're gonna hear this throughout the year, to be immersed in God's word, because we know that we live in an age of information. How many people know that, right? There's endless places that you can get information. You know, contrary to what my high school math teacher told me, when they said, it's not like you're always gonna have a calculator in your pocket, right? Anybody ever heard that? I've heard that. Not only do I have a calculator, I actually have a whole library. I have a library that's not outdated like the one down the hall. I have a library that updates constantly, continuously. In fact, the former Google CEO said this. He said, the amount of information created every two days now is equivalent to the total amount of information created from the dawn of civilization through 2003. Think about that. The amount of information. What he was saying is, I'm not very good at this, so if somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. What he was saying was there was 5 exabytes of data, which is about 5 billion gigabytes of information created from the beginning of civilization all the way to 2003. And then he's saying, we double that every two days now. And actually, when he quoted that, that quote was from 2010. The same amount of data is generated every 2 hours now. So if you think about the amount of information that we have available to us, we have endless supplies of information. The idea of getting information isn't the problem. The problem is, what's truth? We have to find out what truth is. And you can look up information from multiple different sources, and what you're gonna get is multiple different answers. But what we believe here at the church is we believe that God's word is the source of truth. And that we're really gonna go into this year and look at what does God's word say about it. And because we know that the Bible hasn't changed. And we believe here at the church that God's word is what we want to base our foundation of our faith on God's word. So this needs to be the foundation of our life, and we really need to go after it this year. So we're starting a brand new series as we go after it. It's called Is It Biblical? And today we're launching that series. And over the next 5 weeks, here's where we're going, just so you know. We're gonna take a look at some of the common phrases, some phrases maybe that you've often hear, maybe phrases you've repeated or phrases that you even live by, and we're gonna put them up against the Bible and see, is it biblical? Is it actually in the Bible? We're gonna ask this question. And we're doing this because one of our core values here at River Ridge is we believe that living God's way is better. And if we really wanna live God's way, then we need to know what God's word says. I've heard so many people say, Matt, I wanna hear a word from God. Like, I just want God to speak to me. And I think that's noble. I think that's desirable. But also, my first question back to them is, have you read what he's already written? Have you read the word of God? Because do I believe that God can speak a word to you? 100%. God can say that. But what I know is he's already put a lot of words on a page for us to understand. And these words here aren't just words on a page. They're not stagnant. I love what the author of Hebrews says. The author of Hebrews says it this way. The word of God is alive and active. He said it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So as we begin this new year, as we, as a church, as we begin to become immersed into God's word, I hope it pushes you. I hope it challenges you. And I hope it makes you want to know his word better. Because if we truly believe that living God's way is better, then we need to know his word. And some of these phrases that we're going to say are going to come straight from scripture. Some of them are not biblical at all. So it's going to be a lot of fun as we go through this. I want to encourage you to come out each week and as we test each one of these against the truth, and as we discover how building our lives on what God really says leads to the better life that he promises. All right, so here's the first one. Here's today's phrase. You reap what you sow. So let me get a vote. Before I tell you whether or not this is in the Bible, how many people here want to be bold? Say, this is 100% in the Bible. This is in the Bible. Raise your hand. Come on, be bold. Be bold. All right, put your hands down. How many people here say, that's not in the Bible at all, Matt? That's not in the Bible. Come on, be bold. All right, thank you, the three or four, for being courageous. I'm not going to keep you waiting. Here's the answer. It's biblical. It's biblical. It's in Galatians. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Here it is. A man reaps what he sows. That's in Galatians chapter 6, and say it in your head. I'm not saying that one. if you know, you know. All right, I have an 8-year-old at home that reminds me every day of that phrase. But some of these phrases that we're talking about are biblical, like this one. And I love that this is in the Bible, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. This is in the Bible. You reap what you sow. But this principle doesn't just apply to people that study the Bible. Think about this. This principle is universal. It's a universal principle. It's actually one of God's laws. If you've ever studied the laws of physics, you know that just because I don't understand the law doesn't mean it doesn't apply to me. Right? Think about this. Like gravity. Gravity, I can choose to ignore gravity. I can choose to not learn about gravity. But guess what? It's still going to feel the same. Right? It's still going to apply to everyone the same way. So in the same way, everyone will reap what they sow. And look how the verse begins. He says, do not be deceived. Another translation in the Greek that literally means don't be led astray, or maybe a more simple version, some other translations say, don't be stupid. All right, don't be stupid. Paul is telling us, the author here is telling us, don't be stupid. God cannot be mocked. Like, you're not going to get one by on God. Like, I don't know if you know this or not, but welcome to church. You're not going to sneak one in on God. You're not going to do that. I think deception is the primary root of so many people who are reaping negative effects. And the reason is they either don't believe the truth or they think that they are the exception to God's law. You see, this principle, you reap what you sow, it affects everyone. And this next verse actually gives us a little more detail. It says, whoever sows to please the flesh from the flesh will reap destruction, but whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And he says, so whoever sows to please the flesh, what he's saying is our sinful nature. Whoever sows to their sinful nature will ultimately reap destruction. But whoever sows to please the Spirit, our godly nature, the side that God wants us to build, will reap eternal life. We will harvest whatever we plant. It's pretty common sense. I think most of us understand this in life. Like, we know that the people that are successful are the ones that do consistently what others do occasionally. Right? I don't think I know anyone who accidentally got out of debt. Right? Does anybody know anybody who accidentally just became debt free? Like, they had all these student loans or they had all this credit card debt, and then one day they just woke up and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm debt free. Like, that just doesn't normally happen in the real world. No, they intentionally, with consistency over time, made decisions. They made choices to sacrifice something for a greater reward later. I haven't met any couples who accidentally have a great marriage, right? They just never fight. They always agree on every decision. Their husbands love taking out the trash, especially when it's piled over with the boxes, and you just love folding those up and taking them out every day because we just never fight. Our marriage is great. No, I have met people who have made choices, who have decided to prioritize their marriage. I've met people who have decided to value each other, to apologize when they get it wrong. I've met people who actually would say that they make time to date each other, and they work really hard on their marriage. And in the same way, I don't know anyone who would say, I accidentally got close to God. Nobody accidentally gets closer to God. They were just sinning and sinning, and then one day they just stopped, and now they don't cuss anymore, and life's just so much better. They're not addicted to anything. No, they were intentional. They had to be intentional at some point of their life. Now, they have problems, but maybe they see them differently now. I do know people who would say that they've worked really hard to get closer to God. I know people who would say they've worked really hard to study God's word, to understand the meaning of the scriptures and how it applies to their life. I've met people who would say that they have had to die to themselves, to seek after God, to become more and more into the image of Christ. See, you reap what you sow. It's biblical. And while everyone has good intentions, intentions don't determine direction. Actions determine direction. In other words, if you just keep doing whatever you've been doing, then you're just going to keep getting whatever you've been getting. The life that you want is never the result of just a few lucky decisions. It's always the result of countless, consistent, seemingly small decisions done over time. And if you're taking notes, here's the first one. It's the small things that lead to the big results. It's the small things that no one sees that lead to the big results that everyone wants. We'll reap what we sow. And I want to spend the rest of our time today talking about three laws of sowing and reaping. I couldn't put that one in your notes because then you wouldn't vote. You wouldn't have known the answer ahead of time. So three laws of sowing and reaping. And what these three laws specifically mean to our spiritual lives. Because there's so many areas of life that you could get better. Like there's so many that we probably need to get better at. But listen, it's the beginning of a new year. It's the opportunity for us to get better in so many areas. But let me tell you this. This new year will be the best year of your life if it's the best year of your life spiritually. We're going to talk more about that. If you're taking notes, and I hope you are, by the way, this is the first law of sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. And I know we've already covered a lot on this one. But just to make sure, I don't think this is news to anyone. But if you plant a tomato seed, what will you grow? You can answer it out loud. If you plant a tomato seed, what will you grow? Tomatoes. Thank you. Somebody in the first service said pumpkins. Don't think that works. But we understand that, right? We know that you're not going to grow pumpkins if you plant tomato seeds. That's common sense. Paul even goes on to tell us if you plant bad seeds, meaning if we continue to sow into our sinful nature, you're going to reap a harvest of destruction. If we continue to be disrespectful, if we continue to be selfish, if we continue to be angry, if we continue to be unforgiving, then ultimately what's that going to lead to is a harvest of destruction. Conversely, if we sow godly seeds, then we'll reap a godly harvest. If we begin to shift our focus on our actions to God, maybe we pick up and study our Bible first thing in the morning rather than reading social media. Maybe we make the decision to pray about something more than we're going to worry about that thing. Or maybe it's something as simple as choosing to confront someone individually rather than gossiping about them publicly. See, all those things will eventually come back to us. Maybe not quickly, but eventually you will reap a godly harvest. So here's the big idea. If you don't like what you're reaping, change what you're sowing. If you don't like the harvest that you're getting, change the seed. See, we understand this is a law. You reap what you sow. It's always true. And that's why the second one, you actually reap more than you sow. Whatever you sow, God multiplies. There's a parable that Mark talks about a farmer who's scattering seed. And he's saying, as he scattered seed, some of it fell on the path. Some of it fell on rocky soil. Others fell among the thorns. And then he says, some seed fell on good soil. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 8, He says, still other seed that fell on good soil. It came up, it grew, it produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some even 100 times. How many people know that if you plant one seed, you don't just get one crop, right? It grows a plant, and that plant begins to produce multiple crops. And then guess what? If you go out and you pick them off, what happens? It grows again and again and again. And the same is true about our spiritual lives. There's this compounding effect. When we do the small things right, like each time we're just planting a seed. Each time we do the small things right, we're sowing a seed. And then those small, smart choices, plus consistency, plus time, will ultimately lead to the radical life change that we want. When we sow the right seeds, we trust that God will send the rain, and then we will reap a godly harvest. And when we think of our spiritual lives, there's so many areas that we could do. But if there was one seed that we need to plant this year, it's this. We all need to get into God's word consistently. I want to challenge you to learn God's word. And yes, I know that this is a shocker, hearing this from someone on stage in a church telling you to read God's word. I understand. Sounds a little bit like going to the dentist and them telling you to floss. I've been there. And I still don't floss. I found that when I do, like when I decide to floss the day of, it makes my gums bleed and then it hurts. So it's better if I just let them do it. I mean, I get it, right? I understand that. But just because it's expected doesn't make it any less important. Most of us, if we've been around church, we know this. You need more than just what you receive on a Sunday. Coming in here on Sundays is where we get inspired, where we get lifted up. But God wants to speak to you personally, individually, throughout the week. And here's what I want you to know. I want you to understand why this is so important. You see, Matthew records one of the most famous sermons ever recorded in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5-7, you can go read it. And he's actually telling us all these things, the ways that we should live. But when Jesus wraps up his sermon, this is what he says. He says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. See, listen, storms are happening to everybody. But storms are having a different effect on everybody. Every one of us are experiencing the same types of storms. I'm not saying yours is any less important, but it's having a different effect on every person. And I think for us to understand that we need to be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. So that way when the rains come tumbling down and when the floods come up, our house will stand firm on the word of God, amen? All right, so we're gonna go all in on this year. We're going all in on getting immersed into God's word. So I wanna encourage you to join us. Like, let's make this the best year of your life spiritually. And here's a few things you can do. Number one, you can get a paper Bible. I would encourage you to get an actual hard copy of God's word for yourself. I know we put them on the screens here, but it's different whenever you can read it by yourself. I would actually encourage you to get a study Bible. I brought my personal one here with me today. That's why the thing keeps dropping down because it's so heavy. But I would encourage you to get a study Bible. We actually purchased some of these and we put them in the lobby. And you can go out there and look at those. They're available for you to check out. But there is a QR code that you can scan if you want to purchase one like those. Notice I said look at those. These are not free for everybody to take, but if you need a Bible, come talk to me. I'd love to get you one. But those out there are available for you to check out. The one that I have right here is actually the Life Application Study Bible. And I would say this, I've probably said this 100 times to people that I've talked to. It feels like I have a mentor in the room with me. Whenever I read a study Bible, if you're anything like me, I'll read something and it just doesn't make sense. And the cool thing about a study Bible is if it doesn't make sense, I can go down to the bottom and the bottom half of the page has comments for each verse. So sometimes before I would read a chapter and I'd be like, man, what did I just read? And I'd just keep reading and then the whole time I'm just thinking, what did I just read? But for me, this was a game changer because I could stop and I could see what maybe someone else, someone smarter than me, could say about it, and then I would read it and then understand it and then move on. So these are in the lobby for you to look at. Notice I said look at. We don't have enough for everybody to take home today, but if you would like to get one of these, there's a QR code or just talk to someone at guest services. We'd love to help you. This Bible is also the NIV translation. Every Bible has a different translation on it. I grew up reading the KJV, the King James Version. King James Version is a great Bible, and I have nothing against it. Actually, a lot of people really love the King James Bible. It was written in like an older English, so it's real more beautiful, more poetic. It's just kind of hard for me to read. So what I learned is when somebody gifted me an NIV Bible, which is the New International Version, it made it a lot easier for me to understand. Actually, the creators of this Bible said that they wanted the clarity of thought for thought along with the accuracy of word for word. So they wanted to create a Bible that was easy to read. And I'm like, praise the Lord, because I have a hard time reading. So it's really helped me. And listen, there's a lot of translations. Actually, most study Bibles are available in all the different translations. But here's the best one for you is the one that you actually read. So we can stand up here and I can argue about which translation's right, which translation's not right. But the one that sits on a shelf isn't helping anybody. So I would encourage you to get the translation that is better for you to read. And then the second thing you need to do is you need to actually set aside time to read it. Like actually take time to read God's word. Nobody accidentally gets closer to God, right? We already talked about that. So here's what you do. You schedule it. You actually put it on your Skylight calendar that read God's word. And you can put a little Bible emoji next to it. One of the best ways that I've found to help me is to have a Bible study plan. I've been a part of a couple men's groups where we'll read through God's word, try to do it all in a year. I've struggled with that, but there's a replicate reading plan that I've done. The reason I like the replicate one is because it's 5 days a week and I have 2 days to catch up. Anybody else need that in their life a little bit? I have 2 days to kind of catch up on my reading plan. That's a great one, but there are a ton of options out there. As a church, we're gonna be putting this one out in the lobby. We're gonna encourage you to pick one of these up today to take home. You can take one of these home with you. This is the Navigator's Bible Reading Plan. And what's nice about this one, we're gonna be referencing this throughout the year, by the way. So if you pick one up, I'm sure you'll hear more about it as we go. But what I like about this one is each day, like you can start at any point of the year. So like for January 4th, you can pick it up and there's two sections of New Testament and two sections of Old Testament already lined up for you to read. And if you complete the whole reading plan in a year, then you've done the whole Bible. Which I know, and I just wanna say this ahead of time, we're probably gonna miss a day. And if you're reading this and you miss a day, just don't go back and read it. Read today, read what God has for you today. Like it's not about keeping a perfect record. Honestly, I think that's a lot of pride that we have is that we wanna keep a perfect record. Just read what God has for you today. And guess what, if you keep reading it next year, you'll pick it back up. So you have freedom in Christ to not have a perfect record. I mean, like you don't have to worry about that this year. So if you get a Bible and if you set aside time to read a Bible, I would encourage you to actually study the Bible. And this one's really important. See, the Bible was not meant to be read like a novel, cover to cover. The Bible actually isn't set up that way. And if you're reading it so that you can say that you've got through it, you're kind of missing the whole point. I'll say it this way. Don't just read the Bible. Let the Bible read you. Remember we said his word is living and active. And every time you open scripture, you're gonna see something a little bit different. The word that they talk about a lot is meditate, to meditate on God's scriptures. And one of the different definitions or translations for meditate is like a cow chews on its cud. If you've ever heard this, a cow will graze, you know, and they'll graze on the grass and they'll get a big cud and they'll start chewing on it. And as they chew on it, they'll chew on it over and over and over. And then what they'll do, it's kind of gross, they'll actually swallow it and bring some back up and chew it again. And in relation to studying God's word, what they're saying is they want to extract all the nourishment out of it. Every ounce of nourishment that you can get, think about it, meditate on it, talk about it over and over and over. Another word that they use is ruminate. To ruminate is to extract deep spiritual nourishment. So for some of you, this is just a reminder, like flossing. My name's Matt, I'm your friend. Pick up your Bibles and read them. If you are here today though, and you don't understand that, maybe you would say, I'm here today, Matt, I don't even know where to start. I would encourage you to learn how to study God's word. Do the things that we're saying, get a Bible, get a reading plan, and then in March, we're actually gonna kick off a class called How to Study the Bible for All It's Worth. So I told you, as a church, we're going all in this year. So you might as well get on board. You might as well jump in now, get ahead of it, get signed up for the class when it comes up. If you want more help with that, I'm sure we'll be releasing more information. But I will say this, whenever I take time to slow down. And whenever I take time to actually ruminate, to meditate on God's word, it makes the single largest impact on my life. I find myself talking about these words throughout the week. I find myself bringing them up in conversation. I'll come here and hear a message, and that message will speak directly to what I read in my devotional that day. See, having that is a game changer for my life. And listen, it does take time. It takes about 15 minutes every day, sometimes a little bit longer, but I would encourage you, it's okay if you don't spend the whole 15, just spend a little bit. Spend a little bit of time, because I know it's not what I do occasionally that makes the difference, it's what I do consistently. Over time, that will lead to the radical change in my life. And I know that I could be better at it. Actually, I'm trying every day to be a better version of myself. But I know there's nothing more important in my life than growing more and more into the image of Christ. And I'm allowed to get better. And hear me, you're allowed to get better too. So let's make this year the best one yet. Here's the last thing. The last law of reaping and sowing is you reap after you sow. You reap after you sow. See, our entire life is the sum total of all the small decisions that we make. And we don't judge the success of the day by the harvest we reap, but by the seeds we sow. See, the problem, and you know this, is that when you do the small right things and you begin to do those daily, or maybe you don't do the small wrong things and you don't see very fast results. See, we all get this. We begin to give up. We have this big plan and this big idea that we're trying for, and we don't see a lot of immediate life change. So you get frustrated, you get discouraged, and you feel like quitting. But if I could encourage you this today, don't give up. Actually, Paul, when he wrote this, he went ahead and wrote this in the next verse. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." So don't give up. Just pick it back up the next day. Don't worry about the perfect record. Look at it for today. Look at it as if God is going to show you something new each and every day. Because eventually, over time, with consistency, you will reap what you sow. It's biblical. So let me ask you, church, what seeds are you sowing? What seeds are you sowing? There's so many different applications with this verse. Like, you could start making better financial decisions today and eventually become debt-free, and that would be great. You could begin to plant seeds in your marriage, taking steps to prioritize each other more, and that's great. All of this is good, and we all need to get better in those areas of our lives. But if we can lean into this one area, if you can make one decision today that would absolutely change everything in your life, it needs to be to read God's word. Because if you begin to read God's word, and not just read it, like let it read you, study it, meditate on it, then every area of your life will get better. Because here we believe that living God's way is better. And it just is. It's just better. And if we're going to live God's way, then we need to study his word. Everyone has good intentions. Everyone starts the new year with the right intentions. But we know what? Intentions don't determine direction, actions do. So take action. Put his words into practice. Follow what it says. And if you do this one thing, you'll make better financial decisions. If you do this one thing, you'll know what a healthy marriage looks like, and you'll be able to see like in a mirror where you are contributing to that. See, God will show you everything if you get closer to him. This one thing can impact everything. See, I love how C.S. Lewis says it this way. He says, if you aim at heaven, you will get earth thrown in. But if you aim at earth, you'll get neither. So let's make this the best year of our lives. And it'll be the best year of your life if it's the best year of your life spiritually. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather each and every week. Whether it's here in the room or online, someone watching, God, I thank you for this opportunity that we have just to be able to be encouraged, to be able to come into a room and know that there's others that are striving to get closer to you. And God, as we begin a new year, as we begin 2026, Lord, I pray that you would help us make this the best year of our life. God, I pray for health. God, I pray for healthy marriages. God, I pray for physical health. God, I pray for financial health. Lord, I pray for all that. But God, I pray that you would allow us to find the time, God, to just sit and to dwell with you. God, we love you. God, we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, have a great week. Remember, there's study Bibles out there for you to look at, and there's reading plans that you can take home. Have a great week.